Hey everyone, Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Welcome back to War Seats in the House. Michael Russo and Anthony LaPanta. I had to start over because I couldn't say my name.
Yeah, you got it right that time. That's good.
I'm like Russo. Hey,
one for two on your own name. And that's a positive.
And I'm telling you, it's freaking, what time is it right now that we're recording this? It's 2:38. I haven't had a drink today. But I think I'm still like getting over the three bottles of wine we had the other night, Anthony.
Yeah, that was, we tossed back enough that night. Let's just say that. But man, was it good wine.
Yeah, it was really,
and
really good.
Do you know what was
wine.
Crazy? So we're talking about a night. We had a night off in Vancouver to open the road trip and went to one of our old favorite steak places, the Gotham Steakhouse in Vancouver. And when I called to make a reservation, I had done zero research into what the situation was in Vancouver. And we went in and we're just kind of chatting with the waiter. And it turns out that was the first night restaurants were allowed to have full capacity in Vancouver.
I did not know
I found out more about it only because it was coincidence. I asked everybody, like, was there some reason that Vancouver had to open with six road games? And said, no, that was just the luck of the schedule, but it worked out awesome because Monday night, the night before their home opener, was the first night they could have had a full house in the building. If they had opened a week earlier, they would have been at 50% capacity.
Yeah.
So we absolutely stumbled into it that we just happened to arrive the night that all, and I had no clue. So we got lucky.
Yeah. That was an interesting, we had to show our vax cards. That's the first time I've gone to a restaurant that they've actually asked me for the vax cards. So that was kind of neat.
Yeah. They did it again the next day where we went to have lunch. We had to show them there and so we were forewarned to carry him with us everywhere we went just in case. And I guess we were warned properly. And I mean, if that's, as we've talked so many times, I'm happy to abide by whatever rules they set. And so we're vaccinated. We had a card that allowed us to go in and have dinner.
Yep, no doubt about that. Anthony and I are coming to you from Seattle. There's a Starbucks on every street corner here, which is the dream of Anthony and me. Starbucks-aholics.
Yeah, because that was the other thing in Vancouver. We stayed in a different spot. So we stayed right down by the rink. And we used to stay kind of on the other side of downtown, and it's just funny when you're in a town, you get real familiar with what's around your hotel, how to get everywhere, and you had to just readjust bearings a little bit. But it was like an 8-block walk to get to a Starbucks in Vancouver from our hotel.
Yeah, well, the one that was right by our hotel has closed because I always stay at that hotel.
It was like an 8-block walk to get to Starbucks.
It's usually much quicker.
We're here. Literally fell out of the elevator this morning into a Starbucks lobby. So that worked out better.
They're all over the Seattle airport, although, of course, the one that I was going to go to at baggage claim that I always go to was closed. But got to my hotel, there was a Starbucks, and I was walking here to do my Nico Sturm podcast, and I stopped at a Starbucks. And so this is going to be, and when I'm done here, I'm going to go down to Pike Market and probably go to a Starbucks. Might
the
go
original
coffee
Starbucks
shop. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what you and your lovely wife are going to do today, but maybe we'll go down to Pike Market.
Well, possible. We're going to dinner. This actually has worked out well on this trip. Margo's come along. Usually tries to take a trip or two each year, just picking cities where, you know, we can kind of get double the bang for the buck by seeing a couple games, visiting a couple cities. And she's got a couple brothers that live here in Seattle. So one of them came up and joined us for dinner in Vancouver on Monday night. And then we're going to go to the other's house for dinner tonight. So we'll get to catch up with some family. And one of the little perks that works out every once in a while when traveling the NHL circuit is the chance to catch up with family. I get it with when we go to Denver and get a chance to connect with AJ, who lives there now. And yeah. When Vinny was stationed in Norfolk, he'd drive and meet us in Raleigh or Washington. And so there are some little benefits to just bouncing around the country and getting a chance to catch up with friends and family.
No doubt. Next live War Seats of the House, by the way, is going to be at Tuttle's in Hopkins on November 15th, 7 p.m. If you want to have some great food, some great drinks, and listen to a okay podcast.
Above average.
Yeah, above average podcast with Anthony and me. Please come down there November 15th at Tuttle's. It's an awesome spot in Hopkins, 7 p.m. Again, happy to be. I mean, this is such a great city. Every time I come here, I absolutely love it. I'm always amazed, though, when I take an Uber from the airport into downtown. It feels like, and you came in late last night, so you probably couldn't see it. It's like there's not an inch of space that they could put anything. There's industrial parks and I mean it's absolutely jam-packed with like buildings and just things, and it's
been a long time since I've been out here. I traveled out here with the twins several times, and I think the last time might have been 2008 or 9. I mean, it's been like 10 or 12 years minimum since I've been here, I think. And we were talking a little bit with Margo's brother, who we were about the life in Seattle and how things have changed. And, you know, he said it's not great around here right now. We heard a little bit of that out on the street outside our hotel last night. But it's when he was just talking, I said, you know, what's funny is, and you're the same way I am, when we travel to these cities, we're judging a city based on the downtown because we very rarely leave downtown. Well, just use the Twin Cities as an example. I mean, if all you did when you came in was visit downtown Minneapolis or downtown St. Paul, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with those two downtowns, but that's a very different city than if you head out to the suburbs, head out to the Lake Minnetonka area, head out to our suburbs up in the north or the east, whatever it is, Stillwater. I mean, there are so many great parts of Minneapolis-St. Paul that if somebody was a traveler that came in and all they experienced were the downtowns, they'd never know that. And the same is true for us in Seattle. You know, we come in here and, I mean, yeah, the downtown is nice. And, you know, right now it has a little bit of the post-COVID feel that a lot of downtowns have, where a lot of restaurants and things have closed and the traffic isn't back to normal yet. But it's an unfair way to judge a city. Because there's some beautiful parts of Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we may never see that experience that just by being stuck in the downtown area. But I do. The downtown here in the past was a beautiful downtown, and the Pike's Market was a fun place to visit. I always felt, I don't want to say cheated on it, but I always felt like, boy, the way to live this, though, would be to walking through the market to get whatever you were going to grill for dinner that night. Mm-hmm. And we're never doing that, obviously, because we're staying in a hotel. So it's just kind of fun to walk through it, and there's more to it than just the fish and everything. But it's a cool area, and, yeah, we'll walk down there for sure.
I just also love landing in Seattle Airport, and you fly right over Boeing Field, and you see all the big, gigantic planes. I saw a Concorde there today. I thought that there were all these planes. Like, I saw Ryanair and United and all this stuff. Like, I thought that it was, like, deliveries of new planes, but my cousin, who used to be is a retired engineer from Boeing, actually texted me when he saw my tweet. And he said, actually, those are those 737 MAXs that they had the two crashes, and they're getting fixed right now at Boeing Field. And that's what all those planes were on the tarmac. Let's talk about the team. It's been long enough. The team's 5-1, 5-0 on one-goal games, 3-0 on the road. Before we get started, I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, so we're going to be a little vague right now. But by the time this podcast comes out, I think we'll know the names of the players. I don't want to reveal them yet until it's confirmed by the team. But there is a COVID issue with the team right now. Bill Guerin had COVID. He is publicly said that I could say that. And
he's
just so you know,
joining the team here.
He is here in Seattle. He showed up today, this afternoon. And just so everybody knows, so Bill, you know, I got a couple tweets yesterday from, how has Bill Guerin not been around the team and you haven't reported this? You know, at The Athletic, the way that it works is that with COVID is that we are not allowed to report COVID positives unless the team announces it or the player themselves say it. So the Wild had not announced Bill Guerin. So even though I have eyes and knew that Bill Guerin was not with the team, and something I also respect is Bill knew that I was exposed to him doing a radio interview up in Duluth, that he let me know that he had COVID. That was not something that I could report until he was willing to do it. And the reason why the Wild are announcing it now is that it's obvious that there are some assistant coaches missing. Darby Hendrickson's back in the Twins Cities, TJ Jindra, one of their video coaches, and also Freddie Shabbat, their goalie coach, are out right now with COVID. But now today they were hoping that it would be contained. They canceled. I mean, reporter's instinct right away. We get a text 30 minutes before practice. Team rest day, practice is canceled, yet they were down at the rink. Reporter instinct right away when a team has COVID and they're down at the rink and they cancel practice 30 minutes before. It's obviously something going on. And right away I did some digging, and there are definitely some positives with the Wild, so they're going to have to call up some players. But this is going to be the first adversity, Anthony, that they're going to face this season, because these guys, if they're confirmed positives, will have to miss at least 10 days and technically stay here in Seattle, but I'm sure the team will get them an ambulance, air ambulance, to get them back.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody's dealing with it. You look around the league and the teams have guys popping up that are on the COVID protocol list.
And they're all vaccinated.
Right, and you don't know for sure on the COVID protocol list exactly what lands them there, but most of the time it's a positive test. And I mean, I think we all hoped that we were going to be putting most of this behind us and most of it in the rearview mirror, and at least so far we haven't reached the level of a year ago where they had to start saying, hey, look, we can't even require this team to continue to play games because of the number of tests and reworking the schedule and everything. I don't think they were expecting to have to do that this year league-wide, and let's hope that they're not. But, to go back to the team, I was just talking with Ryan Carter this morning, and we were talking about some ideas for tomorrow's show and for the Thursday night show against the Kraken. And when you're at this point, you're always looking for me it's statistical, sometimes it's eye test, but you're looking for examples or criteria by which you can measure, is what's happening sustainable, is it real, or is it phony? And I think with you mentioned the Wild 5-0 in one goal games, that's not going to continue. You're not going to win 100% of the one goal games. And so there are
plus some. Plus, you might get an empty netter once in a while.
You might, but I mean, I'm just like, teams don't go 25-0 in one goal games.
Right.
There's going to be a bounce that goes the wrong way one of these nights, and you're going to lose those. You can't keep falling behind and win and come from behind fashion. Nobody goes 4-1 over the course of a season when the other team scores first. It just doesn't happen. But at the same time, they're 5-1 with not anywhere close to the production that they were expecting or probably still expecting to get from Kirill Kaprizov.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-1 with a penalty kill that's 69%. That's not going to stay. And so there are some things that going both directions that it's hard to really put your finger on whether or not it's what we're seeing is sustainable. I think this is a pretty good hockey team. I think they haven't played the most rigorous part of their schedule yet. But it's a pretty good hockey team that has a characteristic that is very real, and that is there's a togetherness and a never-say-die attitude, a no-quit attitude that is prevalent on this team. And I think when you have those things, it makes it easier to minimize slumps. There's going to be a slump. You're going to drop three games in a row or go 0-4-1. And the teams that end up at the top at the end are the teams that are able to cut it off. And when things aren't going well, they find a way to go 0-3-3 or something like that and then get it turned around, where the teams that can't are the ones that let that slip into a 1-8 kind of a stretch. And I think this team just kind of has that backbone, competitiveness, stability that contending teams have. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to look at all the different facets of a 5-1 start.
You and I have had a ton of conversations on the podcast about great, and we had it at dinner the other night with a guy and his wife, Tammy, Margo's brother and sister-in-law, about the best press boxes in the league. And I'm not a fan of where we sit in Vancouver as print media, but we are over the ice. I should say, preface it by I like where we sit in Vancouver. It's just we are on each other. It's like you might as well be on each other's laps on the print side where you guys are in the gondola. But we are all over the ice. It is such great sight lines in Vancouver. And the one thing being that close and essentially over the rink last night, Anthony, is that I really respect about this team is the work ethic. That work ethic last night, it just jumped off the page. Like, it was so apparent to me when you see it close how hard these guys work. And when there are those handful of guys that are kind of giving so-so efforts, it really jumps out on you. But last night, I mean, Sturm, Duhaime,
hard.
I mean, that Hartman and Foligno and those guys, I mean, it is cool.
I thought the first period last night had a feel of, and I'll give Vancouver credit because I thought they played the same way. It was, and Ryan and I talked about it on the broadcast, this has the feel of two really well-coached teams that have bought into their team system. There was no space for anybody going either direction through the neutral zone. Once they got in the offensive zone, there were almost no sustained forechecks that created chances for either team all night long. It was a fun game to watch. And I think the work ethic is very real, and it's kind of what I mean where I say there's a trait. You know, it's like there's an old saying in baseball that speed and defense never slump. And you guys are going to go into a slump at the plate, pitchers are going to have bad starts, but speed and defense never slump. And I think with hockey, work ethic never slumps. If you have it, I mean, not that everybody's going to be on their game every single night, and there's going to be nights where the legs are heavy and dead and whatever. But when a team has this in their makeup, that's what I'm saying is that I think they have that. They look like a team that will be able to minimize the downward slides during the course of a season because you can make up for a lot just by working your tail off, and that's what they seem to be willing to do.
Yeah, and last night was another great example. Like, you know, and he sort of had a quiet night, but I just love the work ethic from Foligno. Like, last night was another great example about how this team just seems to follow his lead right now. And I don't want to, like, you know, I mean, that's a generalization, but, like, again, when you're that close and you see everything that he does, you know, I just was talking to Sturm, and Sturm, when we were done talking and we were shooting the breeze, he was just talking about how it's hard not to work hard on this team when you see every guy next to you doing working their butt off.
Well, and I thought Jordan Greenway's game last night was his best of the year.
No doubt.
And he and Foligno had a couple shifts where it was, we need a shift where we're in the offensive zone for 45 seconds.
2 minutes left.
And last night with 2 minutes left was the best example. Yeah. They kept that thing along the wall for 45 seconds, didn't let Demko get to the bench. And it was, and his, but he, on that one shift, he threw Pettersson to the ice as if Pettersson was like a peewee player.
Yep.
And then a couple moments later, it was Hoglander that wound up going ass over tea kettle, courtesy of Green. I mean, I just thought last night was his best game. But those are the kind of things that give you a reason to believe this team's got a shot, because that line, there's nothing that says they can't do that every night.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to score. Scoring's nice, and they will score, but they don't have to be effective.
Yep.
The Sturm, Pitlick, Duhaime line last night, I thought was terrific again. And Bukestad has been awesome this year. There's just a lot of guys that they'll contribute here and there, but their work ethic never wanes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it is like, I don't know, there was also something last night about just the way, and we've seen this in every game where the fourth line comes out there with 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left, sometimes 1 minute left. And last night, after that shift with the Hartman, Foligno, and Greenway line, what does Dean do on that center ice faceoff? He puts Nico Sturm out to take the draw. You have Thatcher Demko between the hash marks wanting to get to the bench for the empty attacker. And what does Nico do? He wins the draw. The Wild get it deep, and they waste another 20 seconds, eat another 20 seconds on the clock. It just, you know, I know that fourth line wants more ice time, but the fact that Dean plays them in those type of situations says his confidence.
Well, but, and so I think there's some things going on there. Well, number one, Nico's 70% on faceoffs this year. No player, he's taken 40 draws. No player with 40 draws has a higher win percentage on faceoffs than Nico Sturm. And I think that's a part of it. The other part is that if you're the coach, it makes it a lot easier for you to continue to preach that if you play well and produce, you get more time. And if there was ever a moment in the back of those guys' minds, talking about Sturm, Duhaime, and Bukestad until last night, that, boy, we're playing great, and yet we're still only getting 9-10 minutes a night, the fact that he has you out there in the final 2 minutes tells you what he thinks of you and what, how much he trusts you and how much he's acknowledging that you're playing great.
Yep.
So now when you walk in the room at the end of the night with the rest of the team to celebrate a win, and he says, and how about these guys at the end of the game? With it, well, now you feel like you're a part of something, because you don't feel like, I played 8 minutes and 47 yep. seconds tonight. Because you know that you were a big part of it. You were on the ice when the clinching, what turned out to be the game-winning goal, was scored.
Yep.
And then you were back out there to protect a one-goal lead in the yep. final 2 minutes. I mean, that's your role.
Yep.
So embrace it. And you know, I mean, I've had a few chats with Nick Bjugstad this year, which, I mean, and boy, how different does he look?
Just
He looks about two steps faster than he did last year.
Absolutely, he does.
And just, I've had a couple chats with him, and I mean, he just, hey, we're winning.
Yeah,
and that's what you kind of get the feel from all these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. That fourth line, as you mentioned, on the ice for the big winning goal by Matt Dumba yesterday, it was Nico that made the breakout pass to Duhaime. Duhaime makes the great play on the blue line, gives it to Pitlick, who makes the awesome saucer pass.
They could have had another one, either the shift before or the shift after that.
I think
Duhaime didn't realize that he had Pitlick on the other side, and if he had.
Yeah.
I like that
he spun, he just shoots it, and frankly, that could have been a goal. It just went wide by Nico.
No doubt.
It was just great shift, and a lot of really good shifts yesterday. So good win over the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see how they do against the Seattle Kraken. Well, let's talk more about that, but let's take a quick break, and also thanks to one of our sponsors, Bosch Law Firm. Many of us love fall, but it does mean bitter, cold temps are on the way. Are you ready for winter? It's only going to get colder here in the Midwest, so now is the time to tune up your furnace. You a company you could trust. My friends over at Aquarius Home Services provide a thorough 21-point inspection of your system and provide clear, upfront pricing. They'll treat your home like their own and will go above and beyond to provide you an all-around 5-star customer experience. For a limited time only, Aquarius is offering a furnace tune-up for just $55. That's right, only $55. Thinking it may be time to tune up your furnace before winter? Contact Aquarius today at AquariusHomeServices.com, and don't forget to tell them Russo sent you.
Hey, I want to tell you about Kowalski's. It's the best place to go when you're putting together a great dinner for great friends. We just recently decided to have one last family dinner before hitting the road for this trip to Vancouver, Seattle, and Denver, and decided to go with the pork chops, and they've got a couple of marinades I really like. They've got a rosemary garlic one that's awesome, but the one that's my favorite is the pepper and espresso. Try that out sometime if you're a pork fan. Remember, pork doesn't have to be cooked to white all the way through either. It's meant to be eaten at with a little bit of pink in the middle. But I'll tell you, those guys just take such great care of you. You walk in, you don't see what you like, they'll make it for you. They'll whip it up for you. They'll marinate it for you, whatever you need. They just are a full service and high quality items every time. You never get disappointed. If you're going to have a great meal with some great friends, stop by Kowalski's.
I've told everybody about Chris Lindahl Real Estate for a long, long time. I got to know Chris Lindahl before the pandemic, and he helped me sell my unsellable condo in downtown Minneapolis, which I'm really grateful for. It was nice to get out of my little condo in the middle of a pandemic. But Chris Lindahl has told me a long time that people should feel a lot more confident about putting their home on the market this fall. Well, that's because Chris Lindahl Real Estate's guaranteed offer program gives you confidence that you're getting great value, that the experience will be incredibly convenient, and that you'll be able to bid on homes that other buyers can't even see yet. And with Chris Lindahl Real Estate, you get market rate value for your home, 90 full days to close, and access to off-market real estate. So call Chris Lindahl Real Estate today at 763-401-SOLD and go to chrislindahl.com to request a no-obligation guaranteed offer on your home. Again, chrislindahl.com and 763-401-SOLD. Back here, Worst Seats in the House, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, coming to you from the beautiful Team Hotel here in Seattle.
Before we moved to Seattle, just to kind of wrap up Vancouver, it was kind of cool to be back in a city where we hadn't been.
Yeah.
The team hadn't been.
Since the father-son trip.
Right. And it was interesting to, they hadn't played a game in front of fans in almost, 19
days.
Months or something like that. And the Wild hadn't played a game in Canada. I mean, it just was, these are the kind of trips and moments where you just feel like you're okay.
Yep.
Now it feels like an NHL season.
Yeah.
But it also made me appreciate, and we did have, you mentioned that we had this chat about the favorite arenas to visit. There is just something for the arenas built in Canada. They knew what they were doing when it came to putting the games on TV. Our broadcast location there is phenomenal. gondola right over the penalty box, just like you have in Montreal, just like we have in Calgary, just like we had in the old barn in Edmonton. And it's amazing to me how they just, they knew what they were doing with all these buildings, and they're built to televise hockey, and everything else takes a back seat. Whereas most of the American arenas are built to be multifunctional. We got to have 100 concerts. We're going to have 50 hockey games. We might have some basketball games in here, whatever else. And we got to make it so it's compatible for all of those. It's like these guys said, well, we're playing hockey here, and whatever else you guys want to try and fit in here, good for you. But we're playing hockey, and we're going to make it so that people come in to do television of hockey can do it first class and top notch. And it's just kind of fun to call games from those spots. Yeah.
I feel like I was the only person in the world, hockey writer, that loved Rexall Place, the old building in Edmonton.
I love our spot.
I think the reason why beat writers rip on it is because they don't like to exercise, and it took like a hike to get up there. You'd have to burn like 250 calories and maybe get a sore leg.
There were some healthy steps. No question.
You know, especially when you're a bigger guy. But
you had to go out into the crowd to use the restroom.
That was the worst part.
We still have to do that in Calgary.
Yeah.
But
Edmonton was a hike because, as we've talked about, we'll talk about that on another podcast.
But it was,
remind
but
people
spots.
Of when you gave me a heart attack
in Edmonton.
That one time that I gave you a heart attack.
Yeah.
But those spots they're so cool. And the only American building that's been built that way is the new arena in Detroit.
Yeah.
They built that. It's not quite the same. Yeah. They actually got the best of both worlds because they built a gondola, but it also has plumbing and everything right out there. So you're in the gondola. Yeah. You have space in your room in the gondola, which most of them don't.
Yeah.
And you've got facilities right
no
there.
Doubt.
So they kind of got the best of everything.
Well, instead of leaving the cliffhanger, I'll just give the Cliff Notes version of what happened in Edmonton the one time with Anthony. But I was doing a Fox Sports North, now Bally Sports North, first intermission hit. And Anthony decided that after the period was over, which again, you got like 2 minutes.
Period. I have to.
Yeah. He runs into the crowd and goes to the bathroom. And I know his pattern. Okay. So but in Edmonton, it's not like even in Calgary, it's still right there on the other side of the press box. In Edmonton, you got to go
down
like,
the hallway.
I mean, you got to basically go into the crowd, down into the like middle of the upper bowl, like all the stuff. So I'm doing the math and I'm like, this guy's not going to be back in time. So I put my IFB in and I'm getting ready for the hit, and we're in Edmonton, and I get Stro in my ear, the Bally Sports North producer. And he like says in my ear, 30 seconds. And I look, and again, the stairs just to get up to the press box are like in the middle of the end zone, and I'm basically on the center ice side. And I'm looking, and I don't see Anthony. And I kind of run, and I look, and I'm looking down the stairs, and I have no sense of where Anthony is. And so now I hear again in my ear that we're getting to the point, and I rip my IFB off. And I run into the press box, and I'm like, Greener, you know, Mike Greenlay. I'm like, get out here. LaPanta's missing. They're about to go back on the air, because I did not want to be alone, because I didn't even know how to do, like, welcome back to Bally Sports. like, how to even, and then interview myself. And so I am just freaking out. And I get back there with Greenlay, who's like, what are we talking about? And I get back there, and there's Anthony putting in his earpiece. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, where did you even come from? And now I got to put in my earpiece. I get my earpiece in and I hear 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And Anthony's like, welcome back to Fox Sports North. Our NHL insider, Michael Russo. I'm like, and I was so like, one, like out of breath, but two, like panic stricken, that I actually on the air said, first of all, let me just tell you what happened. Like, this guy was missing 2 seconds ago. And so... Like, I just couldn't, like compose myself to just go into what answer. I, like, had to tell everybody, like, this is why I look like an absolute mess right now.
Yeah, we've had a few of those moments
over
the years. And you're right about everything describing it. But, you know, we were back. I knew what we were talking about.
Where the hell you came from. I think you parachuted in from the rafters.
And just, hey, welcome back to the show. Here we go.
Before we get to Seattle, you know, a couple of little white elephants right now with the team that was probably the wrong term. What would be the right term if I wanted to talk about
the elephant in the room?
The elephant in the room. Jeez. Yep. I think it's my four venti Americanos I've had today that's given me
you're combining adjectives.
I'm feeling the caffeine go through the brain, which is probably not a good thing. Kaprizov. you know, just does not look good, Anthony. Like I thought he had really two bad games against Anaheim and Nashville, and last night, like, he didn't even look like he was working. And really, like, chasing the puck, showing his frustration, not engaged, not making plays, not getting shots. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I do think there's a little... His game's been off, and he's pressing. There's no question. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Ryan and I were talking on the broadcast last night, and, you know, last night was game six, but prior to that, he had five assists in five games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not bad for a guy who's off.
Right.
And to say, you're off.
With all due respect, three came in one game, and two of those came in, like, the last minute of the third period in overtime. Now, granted, he made the plays, but even you look at that overall, Winnipeg game, he wasn't great.
No, I agree with you. He hasn't been on his game yet, and that's why when we were talking about the elements of a team that are sustainable, I look at a start and you just say, okay, well, it's reasonable to have expected that Kirill Kaprizov would have done more than he's done at this point, and yet you still have won five out of six games.
Right.
And so I think, you know, it will come. He's had some little flashes of what made him special last year where – okay, he was invisible for three or four shifts, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, he's right in the middle of two scoring chances.
Yeah.
I think he and Matt Zuccarello have been probably a little too cute a few too many times this year, and we saw that from time to time last year, and sometimes it would work, and then all of a sudden you'd have a couple games in a row where it didn't, and then it would go away. And they have some chemistry between them. They have some magic between them. That'll come back. And, you're sitting here at 5-1 with zero goals from Kirill Kaprizov and one from Kevin Fiala.
Yeah, I tweeted that today. Yeah.
And I mean, that's and I think Fiala's been great. I really think his game has been. I mean, he has been noticeable every night. He's been active. Last night, I thought he had a couple moments where
that play with Tyler Myers. Like, I don't know what he was
thinking on that
like,
play.
Part of me, I mean, I saw right when it happened. Like, I was live tweeting that he did it, and I just think that he bailed because he was a 6'8 defenseman, not thinking like this, with all due respect, this is a 6'8 marshmallow.
But he was
going
to be the second man in.
I know.
He wasn't like going
in first.
It
was so weird.
I don't know
if he thought it was an icing or what it was.
It was
but,
strange. He coasted, yeah. And we talked
but
about
I thought
it too.
That
we like,
when I looked at it live, I thought it was somebody saying, I don't want to get hit by a 6'8 defenseman that it's not Chara, by the way. it's not Ratko Gudas who's going to put you into freaking Victoria.
Yeah. I just think it was strange because if he was the first guy in, I would have said, yeah, he absolutely just didn't want to get put through the wall by Myers. But he wasn't. He was going to be strange. I thought at first when he let up, I thought, okay, he's kind of baiting him where he's going to break the other way across the net and try to beat him on the other side, or he's going to try and beat him with a stick play. And then he just coasted.
Yeah.
And it was really strange.
He must have thought it was an icing.
I will have to ask him about it because it was. But that was one of the very few moments where I've been like, whoa, that didn't look right.
Yeah.
Most nights, I mean, he's been going. And I mean, in fact, if you look at the Nashville game, the only reason I had looked at it is we were breaking down the Wild by line with shot attempts, shots on goal in minutes played. And it was the fourth line in like half the minutes that had more shot attempts than any of the other lines.
Mm-hmm.
But on Fiala's line, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, I think he had something like 11 attempts that night, 10 or 11, and his whole line only had 13. It was a night where Rask wasn't very good, Gaudreau was just okay, and yet Fiala still found a way to get that many pucks to the net. And I just think his game's been really good. He just hasn't scored. And Kaprizov's game hasn't been great. Hasn't been terrible. It just hasn't been what you thought you were going to see from him all season.
Yeah,
I just think with him, it looks like it might take one night of all of a sudden, you know,
one
he's
goal.
Right in the middle of the – he hasn't been right in front of the net very often this year, which is where he scored a lot last year. And if all of a sudden he has a night where he's there, he scores a couple of goals, you might see the guy go on a little 10-goal, 10-game
kind
of run.
His speed also, he just doesn't look to be skating nearly as explosively this year. And I don't know. I mean, you know, look, you wanted to be paid like a star. You got to act like a star, and he hasn't done that yet. Fiala, does it concern you, though, Anthony? Like, I know you mentioned, and I don't disagree with you, he's getting a ton of pucks to the net. He's working his butt off. He's getting scoring chances, all that stuff. But this was him in the playoffs, too, and he didn't finish. This was him in the preseason, too, and he didn't finish. And now here in the beginning of the regular season, are you concerned that this is who he is suddenly, or no?
No, I'm not at all. In fact, if you look at the way he finished last season,
mm-hmm.
he was unbelievable. That was his best stretch of the whole year, was down the stretch. We had a number on it last night. I think he finished with 11 goals in the last 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing it because we were comparing shot volume. In those 13 games, he had four or more shots 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had 4 shots in a game yet this season. And going into last night anyway, I guess I didn't even look at what he had last night, but he had 13 shots in the first 5 games. So we were looking at it just simply from that shot volume, and is it, you know, what's missing? What's not there? And, you know, this is why coaches earn their money. Dean's got to find a way to get to him and just, you know, hey, don't worry about all this other stuff. I mean, you can say what you want about, you know, we always wonder, is a guy complacent once he signs a big deal? I don't think it's complacency, but sometimes it's you put a little pressure on yourself. Where, boy, I got to do this. I've got to make this, because otherwise people are going to start wondering, well, hey, the guy got all this money and now he hasn't done anything. And players put pressure on themselves to do that. And I've had some interesting chats with Wes Walls and Ryan Carter over the years about that, just the mentality of a guy when you feel like you are supposed to be doing more and you're not, the kind of pressure that can put on your game mm-hmm. and put on yourself. And perhaps that's what we're dealing with here. Whatever it is, they got to figure it out, because he has to be the type of scorer he was last year for this team to have a chance.
Yep, absolutely. I do think these guys are going to be fine, but I don't know. The Kaprizov one worries me a bit. I mean, it just he doesn't look right to me. And last night was the first time where I really started to sense frustration. I mean, he was a step behind all night. There was one sequence in the third period where he just didn't battle. And then the next shift he tried to battle and just couldn't catch up. And that to me was concerning. Let's talk about Seattle, Anthony. You and I, we were going to go see the practice today, and then they canceled it. But that arena, it looks incredible. It doesn't have a center ice scoreboard. It has two twins on either side of the renovated Key Arena, now Climate Pledge Arena. It just looks amazing. Apparently there are windows on the street where people could look in.
Yeah, like the old knothole gang from baseball stadiums.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And it just feels like this Kraken team is going to be one of those teams that just they're going to have to win on work ethic every night. They beat Montreal yesterday for their first ever home win. They've got two wins. I did a big Carson Soucy story. Don't even know if Soucy's going to get to play right now. I mean, you know, he was scratched last night, and most coaches would come back with the victorious lineup, especially after a home game. And also considering that Soucy in their home opener took the big penalty that turned that game around when Vancouver rallied back to win that game. But it sure feels like they're going to be a you know, one of those teams that if you're the Wild, you don't want to take lightly, especially if you're without a key player tomorrow.
I thought Seattle, I watched their home opener. I didn't watch the game last night against Montreal. They were on almost at the same time we were in Vancouver. But I did watch their game against the Canucks, their home opener. And I thought Seattle was the better team for much of that night, and then at the very end, Vancouver, Grubauer gave up a little bit of a soft one, and Vancouver's big guns did what they're capable of doing, which is, even on a night where they've been largely invisible, they just made a couple plays, and before you know it, the game's shifted the other way. It looked like Mark Giordano's goal was going to be the heroic, you know, the Seattle wins their home opener. Their captain, the veteran guy, makes the big play to put them ahead 2-1 late. I don't know about Soucy. I mean, it is interesting when you, and you and I are as guilty of it as anybody. You know, we talked about this so much leading up to the expansion draft, and you know, who should the Wild lose? And oh boy, you know, what if you lose this guy, whatever it could be, and. And then you start to look and you say, all right, well, the guys that maybe somebody saw something and said, you know what, I think this could be more of a replaceable part than some others think. I'm not completely convinced that that's the case with Carson Soucy, but if Soucy was the player that was as valuable as what we thought going into that expansion draft, he wouldn't be the guy who's already been scratched twice in 7 games in Seattle. Now, they've got a good defensive core, but it's not – it isn't – I wouldn't say it's better than the defensive core that Minnesota had last year when Susie became a regular part of that. And, you know, and yet he's having a hard time cracking the lineup.
Yeah, they did. They took a lot of NHL defensemen, and you're right. I mean, but you look at the analytics last year, he and Cole were outstanding. They, 5-on-5, they outscored teams 70-something to 30-something. And I will say this, even Carson in my story says, yeah, but that's, you know, like, you know, we got to play with a lot of good forwards. He can't control the fact that Talbot had like a 950 save percentage when they were on the ice, things like that. So, you know, he even says, like, I don't know if we were as good as, like, the numbers point out. But, you know, obviously he felt like he had a good year. But, you know, Ryan Donato scored a big goal yesterday. Marcus Johansson plays for them as well. So we're going to see a lot of Minnesota ties.
Johansson hasn't played, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he's
not.
I mean, yeah. It's funny. These are – it's just – it's kind of strange, you know, when you look at it and you think, all right, well – And the other guy, I mean, frankly, we were worried about, you know, do you want to try and find a way to protect another goaltender? And, you know, Kakinen's played one game so far this season. And, you know, I got to believe Seattle had an idea what they wanted in a goaltender. It's kind of interesting. You know, you look at – I thought what Vegas did so well was they pegged guys accurately that would thrive in a elevated role in a lineup. And they wanted speed guys. They wanted guys that, when you looked at who they took, a lot of them were higher draft picks that had always just been third or fourth line guys where they were, and now all of a sudden you elevated them and they were great. And I wondered if Seattle would find those same kind of guys. You know, I thought Yanni Gord had a chance to be that kind of a guy where he was always a role player in Tampa. Now he could be a first line guy.
Yep.
But what they seem to do is they took a whole bunch of guys that were really responsible players everywhere they've been. In fact, I looked at it today. Their top 9 forwards, top 3 lines, only one guy was a career minus player. Everybody else was a plus, and a lot of them big plus players, even coming from some of the mediocre teams around the NHL. And yet, so they obviously had in their mind the type of player that they wanted was different than maybe what Vegas went into.
Yeah.
They wanted some high, they wanted skill, they wanted speed, where these guys seemed like they were like, you know what, let's go to the bath. The only guy they have in their top 3 lines is Jordan Eberle. He's the only guy that was a minus player in his career prior to this season.
Yeah. And he lived in Edmonton.
Where everybody was minus.
Yeah.
But even some of the guys, like they got guys from Buffalo that were plus career plus players.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting when I noticed it. And I want to say the 3 lines, the 8 guys, are like a combined career total of like plus 130 or something like that. And that includes Eberle's minus 35. So it was interesting.
Well, you know, I mean, I mentioned the Minnesota ties, you know, obviously on the ice. And then you have Dave Haxtell, former University of North Dakota coach, coaching them. But look, I mean, Alex Mandrycki, you mentioned that. I mean, she was the Wild's analytics guru for a long time with Andrew Thomas. And she's hugely high up in the hierarchy of the executive of the Kraken, but other ones too. Like you have Dr. Boyd's kids work for them. You have somebody tweeted me like the engineer that helped build the arena is from Minnesota. There's a lot of Minnesota ties with obviously Lewicki is the CEO president of the team as well. First one with Minnesota Wild. So let's do this. Let's take one last break and then we'll come back with the rest of the worst seats in the house.
And one of our newest sponsors is Tria. And I've had a chance to visit a lot of the doctors at Tria. I've shared the story a couple of times that Dr. Joel Boyd was the one who reconstructed my knee after a crash on the mountain in Whistler where I wound up with an ACL, MCL, and meniscus tear, and he put it all back together, and it was almost like clockwork how fast I was back, and he had predicted exactly to the day, okay, this many months you'll be able to do this many weeks you'll be able to do this, and just the quality and the care, and whether you're an actual pro athlete that's trying to get yourself back on the field, or just an active guy like me that just likes to get out and play and run and climb and golf and whatever, they are there to get you back to whatever it is that you like to do. I give Dr. Boyd a lot of grief sometimes because I was hoping I'd come back bigger, faster, stronger, and I just came back the same. But they take great care of you, and so if you're ever in that spot, Tria Orthopedics is the place to go.
Hey, I've told you a long, long time about my friends over at Profile. Well, the holidays are coming, and while I love gathering with my friends and family, I don't love the weight gain that usually follows. And that's why I'm glad my Profile coach has given me the tools that I need to have a healthier holiday season. I've learned it's not about being perfect. It's about having a game plan ahead of time and making better choices. I know I can still enjoy good company and good food without going overboard and derailing my weight loss progress. I've lost a ton of weight, and I'm keeping it off, and Profile has helped me, and they can help you too. Profile has 6 metro locations as well as Waite Park, Mankato, and Rochester. Visit profileplan.com/twincities today to set up a free consultation. Mention Russo and save $100 when you join. That's profileplan.com/twincities.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy 2 heating systems when 1 propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy right now.
Back here, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, coming to you from the Wild Team Hotel in Seattle. We're like triple masked right now because the Wild are dealing with a COVID issue. Tuttles is our next live show November 15th. Please come down there at 7 p.m. in Hopkins. Really would love to see some new faces down there. We love our regulars, but we want to see more people come down. If you want to hear some cool hockey talk and have a great dinner, come to Tuttles on November 15th. By the way, Anthony, you and I haven't talked about this in 3 or 4 podcasts, but if you want to come on our Europe vacation next summer, I think it's mid-July, a 10-day trip. We're going to Budapest, Prague, Vienna, and Bratislava.
Those are the 3 main ones.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it's July 17th, if I remember right.
To the 28th-ish or something like that.
Yeah.
I know I go from there to my cousin's wedding in Rhode Island. Really, I mean, it's just going to be an incredible trip. And not only do we see these awesome places, but you get to hang out with Anthony and me. What more do you want? You get to hear about our wine and Anthony's Sunday's dinners. And we like to drop the credit card, too, and pay for your wine and your some of these meals.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Promising that kind of stuff. Yeah. No.
Go to DefineDestinations.com. Again, DefineDestinations.com to find out everything about it. The price includes airfare, hotel, transportation,
fair number of meals.
Yeah, meals.
And we were talking about
excursions.
It with at our dinner the other night with Margot's brother and his wife, and Michael Kenny, who organizes it, just does such a great job. And I think it's a great balance of organized events with free time in the cities. And you know, we've made some good friends on these trips too. That I just bumped into another couple of them down at the game the other night.
Yeah, and I ran into them down below.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun catching up. And actually, they said they think they're going to make this trip work too. But it's
cool.
But it you know, you get a chance to go have dinner, and then hey, look, we're going to stop down the street at this pub or this wine bar or whatever. Anybody wants to come, come along, and we'll sit around and tell some stories and have some laughs, and we really have a lot of fun. They're unbelievable trips, and I've heard that these 3 cities are 3 can't miss in terms of cities in Europe that you want to see. So I'm really looking forward.
And
we love
to tell you the inside story about the Wild. I remember in Edinburgh the first day, you weren't on this trip. Anthony's done the last 2. I've done 3. And the first one was Scotland, Ireland, you know, so Scott, like we went Edinburgh, Glasgow, Belfast, and Dublin. And so this couple that came on the trip that had become some of my closest friends in Minnesota, their oldest son was studying abroad in Dublin, and he came over to Edinburgh. And the first night we went to this pub and with a bunch of people, and I start telling Wild stories, and this kid was a big, big Wild fan. You could just see I was like almost disappointing with him with everything I said, because I was telling him so much inside baseball
and
stuff.
See, so now it's great because I can then provide a little balance. So it's not just the sea of negativity that, you know, then we have a little balance on the other side. And
you know what was really funny about that trip? So what are the chances of this? I don't even know if I ever told you this. So we go back to the hotel, and I'm highly caffeinated as usual, and we sort of come in early, and I'm like, well, I can't sleep, so I'm gonna go down to the hotel bar. So I go down to the hotel bar, And there is Andy Claudine. Hopefully it's okay I'm saying their names. And their son, Rhino. And so, again, I barely know them. And so I wound up sitting in them, and we sort of hit it off and talking. And I'm, like, looking across the bar, and I see John Anderson, the Wild assistant coach, sitting there with his wife and daughter. Like, what are the chances that you would run into, like, there's 1,000 hotels in Edinburgh.
Well,
and what are the chances he's going to be
in a million cities in the world?
And you're going to just show up, and you're going to be in the same hotel bar at the same exact time. And so it was just like, I walk up to him, and he looked at me like, what the F are you doing here? And it was just so funny.
Yeah. Well, remember, we ran into some people from Minnesota on the trip, the second trip, when we were in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And I had gone across the street. We were stopped. We were going to go to one of the big beer halls, and it was really crowded. So I just walked across the street.
Right, in Munich.
In Munich, right. And I walk across the street. I go into there's one person sitting at the bar. And when I walk up, the guy turns to me and says, LaPanta. And I turn, it's just this guy from Minnesota.
He was on your trip.
He wasn't on our trip. He was just like there. And I turn and we start chatting, and it turns out he was a St. John's guy. Like, we didn't know each other in college. He was maybe 4 or 5 years younger than me, but we had a ton of mutual friends. And I mean, he just
isn't that the bar where the waitress was like super mean to you?
She didn't like me very much.
She was not a fan.
No.
It's shocking that that could be possible, that somebody wouldn't like you.
Everybody likes me. I know. How did that work?
It's just shocking.
I can't remember what I remember. I was standing at the bar, and that's not allowed. You order your beer and then you go sit down, and I was just kind of leaning on the bar, and she yelled at me for that, and like, that started it. So then it was
and then she was like mean to everybody else from our travel
party.
I didn't have
a coaster. Remember, that was one of the things. Like, I didn't have a coaster under my beer.
Yeah, she was pissed that you were creating what was the Curb Your Enthusiasm? Don't you have respect for wood?
Yeah, sweat rings. Yeah. Well, actually, that was a Seinfeld, too, that didn't they go to some dinner party and they had a guy made a ring mark on a table?
I thought that was Curb Your Enthusiasm because it was Julia Louis-Dreyfus and it was a coffee.
That's why I was thinking it was Seinfeld.
Mocha Joe.
That's right, Mocha Joe.
Mocha Joe. That's right. Like, don't you have respect for wood? And it turned out it was Larry David's wife, or at that point ex-wife, that did it. And he wanted.
Did you watch
Cheryl
the season premiere?
I haven't
yet
because we were
terrific.
Up in, so I didn't because the Wild played Sunday night, and so I figured I'd watch it in Vancouver. But you're not allowed to sign on HBO Max when you're in Canada, so I got to do that when we're on either here in Seattle or Denver. We're gonna have a lot of time off here. I don't know when the next time we're gonna cover practice. Right now with this, I think expanding COVID outbreak, you know, it's not going to be isolated to just two players, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, you sure hope so. Yeah, but you never know. I mean, I don't know with everybody vaccinated, it's a little like some guys it just becomes really minor when they get it, but other guys it still hits you just like
Well, I know somebody that recently had COVID that's vaccinated that was super sick. Now, probably only for a couple days, but super sick. And it really, it just makes you think, like, you just don't know when this thing's going to ever end. Like, for a while, it's like, all right, well, the elixir is going to be the vaccine. And then the vaccine comes and it's like, well, that really kind of doesn't work. So it's just like, it just feels like this is just going to go on forever and ever and ever. And so it's a little disconcerting, that's for sure. But hopefully we'll get through the season healthy. I was just reading my China Olympics protocols, Anthony. You wouldn't believe, it's 72 pages, this book. And it is massive, the amount of protocols that we have as media, like daily testing. We're like basically in a bubble. We're not allowed to go anywhere.
Right, and what's like, for me, if I got all that stuff,
you would not have read it.
I wouldn't read it, but I would just be, everybody else is going to know. I'll just follow along with what they do.
Yeah.
You're going basically by yourself, so you have to read it.
Well, now it's originally it was just going to be me and Pierre LeBrun, and now I'm not even positive Pierre's coming. So it might be just me solo in China.
Right. So then you have to read, like, for example, as we were traveling, it was funny. We get on the charter, and Andrew Haidt, who's the director of team services and does all the travel and everything, he does such an unbelievable job of organizing all this stuff and making it as absolutely easy for all the rest of us as possible. So he sends us all this stuff about, you got to have this Arrive Canada app. We're going to have everybody come in to be tested at this time. We're running all the samples to the lab so that we make sure everybody's got a negative test in the right window of time before we go in. all of this stuff, keeps it all organized. We're on the plane, and he's like, okay, he's going around checking everybody's app to make sure they all did it right. And, okay, now when you get off the plane, you have to have this, you have to have this, you have to have this. We're getting word that restaurants are requiring you to do this. So he makes it so easy that I don't even think about it. I just get on the plane and then wait for instruction and follow the herd. And I know that's not how you're wired, but I have no problem not knowing and just, well, I'm on a plane with 50 people. They're all going to know the rules. I'll just follow them.
Yeah. I better know the rules. I mean, this is China, not
I understand,
St.
and
Louis.
You don't have Andrew Height planning it for you.
I know,
so.
That's a good point. Or Michael Kenny, for that matter, DefineDestinations.com. Come with us to Europe. Anthony, this was a good podcast. Lots of news coming. Team's 5-1, so that's good. Hopefully they can keep this up. You know, the one thing, though, Anthony, if you could beat Seattle, go to Denver feeling good about yourself against Darcy Kemper and the Avs, who are not playing well right now.
They're not playing well, but that's why the Seattle game, I think, is so important.
Yep, exactly.
Because it, you know, you always, as I looked at this trip when the Wild were leaving after losing to Nashville, and it was a home opener in Vancouver, which was going to be a challenge. I think Minnesota's a better team than Vancouver, but you're going in there for a home opener. You're going to face the Avs in Colorado, and you start to look at it and you think, okay, well, geez, I mean, you could go play well on this trip and drop two out of those two games for sure, and who knows what happens in Seattle, and all of a sudden your fast start can get negated. On the other hand, if you go and you find a way to win two out of three on this trip, and now you come back home again and you're sitting at 6-2.
Yep.
Well, now you start to get to that point where, and we've seen it with so many teams over the years, that if you get off to a hot start, you can ride that to January.
Yep.
I mean, play 500 hockey, and because you were 6-1 or 6-2 out of the gate, 500 hockey till January, and you're still going to be sitting close to the top of your division. It's just the way the league goes. So it'd be great to see Minnesota bank some points early and not then have to be stressing it down the stretch in the second half.
Yeah, well, I completely agree, and it'll be interesting against the Kraken because we're going to definitely see some new players in the lineup and definitely some new lines, it appears. So definitely it appears, Anthony. Fun podcast, as always, again, November 15th. Come to Tuttle's, Hopkins, November 15th, 7 p.m. It'll be awesome, awesome time. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, Bosch Law Firm, Aquarius Home Services, your local authorized dealer for Connecticut water treatments, Kowalski's, Chris Lindahl Real Estate, TRIA, Profile by Sanford, and Minnesota Propane Association. Talk to you next week, Anthony. So much coming out, there's nothing going in. I know that you feel like you're never gonna win. Oh, but the world won't forgive a winner. Since 2:38, I haven't had a drink today. I'm like, Rutho?